All set? Thank you, Beaver. Okay. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Haley Griffin in case number 25-77. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given in ARS 32-2234. Dr. Griffin, please come forward and introduce yourself and counsel.
Good morning, members of the board, Madam Chair. Courtney Sullivan representing Dr. Haley Griffin, who is present and to my right.
Dr. Griffin, you've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer the matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all of the materials previously submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We did submit a letter to the board last week that should be in your packet.
Okay, this proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speak at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond after you're sworn in. If present, the complainant will also be given the opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Thompson, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes. At the December 11th, 2024 Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an investigation with respect to respondents' conduct after reviewing premises inspections conducted at Old Pueblo Veterinary Clinic. A premise inspection was conducted at Old Pueblo Veterinary Clinic on July 13th, 2023, and again on November 14th, 2024. Repeat violations were noted that board was advised had been corrected. The board expressed concerns with respondents' continued non-compliant premises. The board also had concerns with the reported foul odor throughout the premises and the care and keeping of shelter animals at the premises, especially when mixing shelter animals with hospital patients. Respondent is the responsible veterinarian for the premises.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Thompson. Dr. Griffin, at this time, I would like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Dr. Thompson, we would now like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Dr. Griffin, you said Dr. Thompson.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Griffin. Yeah, that was addressed to you. You want me to repeat it?
Yeah, could you?
Okay, Dr. Griffin, we would like to give you an opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. I'll be addressing the board on Dr. Griffin's behalf this morning, but she's here to answer any questions that the board may have. She is, she's concerned, she's stressed, she's upset about what's happened and what's brought her here. She wants the board to know that she takes this issue very seriously. The technician that worked with the rescue is no longer employed by the veterinary clinic, and Dr. Griffin is no longer providing care or any services to that rescue. So she has completely separated herself from that rescue and the technician's employment. She's embarrassed and upset about the pack inspection that happened. It was an inspection that happened while she was on vacation. It was her first vacation that she's taken since purchasing the practice and the first time that she's used Relief Veterinarians. She's not trying to make an excuse and point the finger at anybody, but she recognizes that there were issues that she couldn't address because she wasn't there and wasn't in the state. The clinic is no longer housing rescue animals unless they are undergoing medical care. There were some there during the November inspection, but those animals that were there were waiting to be worked in for treatment. They weren't being housed there. Dr. Griffin's reviewed the appropriate rules and practices with her staff and has implemented changes to address documentation of the discharge instructions in the patient files, along with regular inventory reviews, and has engaged with an individual to provide regular enhanced cleanings of the facility that will help to address any other concerns. Dr. Griffin works with a number of rescues and animal control agencies in her practice. Rescue and animal control work accounts for over 90% of her surgery schedule. Personnel from those entities come through her clinic regularly, and she's proud of the work that she provides to these underserved agencies and practices. She's learned quite a bit through this process and made some very meaningful changes to her practice. She's hopeful that the board recognizes that this isn't something that is continuing at her clinic, and she's asking that the board issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern.
Thank you. Dr. Griffin, would you like to say anything in addition? No, okay. Dr. Thompson.
Yes. So I do have a couple of questions. First question, what are your hours of business?
8 to 5.
8 to 5, okay, thank you.
I'm gonna have to ask you to speak up because we have two members on the phone, please.
Okay, 8 to 5.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And could you give detail what your cleaning protocols are now and how this additional cleaning service affects your cleaning protocols?
Yeah, so the person that comes in like after hours and cleans, she like washes the walls in the lobby and she does dusting things like for pharmacy meds and like the light and surgery, and she wipes the door handle things on the covers. She moves the kennels out and sweeps them off underneath them. So that's mainly what that person does. Like staff does regular cleaning throughout the day, like cleaning rooms after appointments and, you know, mopping at the end of the day, changing garbages, basic stuff.
And what is your cleaning protocol for kennels?
Kennels, they're spraying them out with kennel salt.
And do you hospitalize patients overnight?
Occasionally, not very often.
Occasionally. When you had animals that were staying in your facility at the time of the inspection, how often were those kennels cleaned?
Every 24 hours.
Every 24 hours. So documentation of crusted feces was incorrect?
I didn't think that was documented on her thing.
Well, we do have a copy of the report from the investigation.
Mm-hmm. I did not know that. That was the PAC report from September that you're referring to?
Yes.
Yeah. So that was September 3rd, I believe. And that happened while she was out of state with the Relief Vet. So she wasn't there to address the cleanliness at the time of the PAC inspection and has taken steps
since then to make sure that her staff engages in regular cleaning during the day as well as the enhanced cleaning after hours.
So, but you're also the responsible veterinarian, correct? So, were there protocols in place for cleaning of those kennels and maintaining those kennels for staff?
I mean, they're supposed to be doing it once a day, yes. So they're supposed to be spraying them out, changing the towels and litter boxes and food and water bowls and things like that.
And what types of pets were you keeping in the facility?
Well, they were just cats.
They were just cats. Were any of the cats, did any of the cats have infectious disease?
The one that was in the bathroom on that report did have, it had FIP and it had FELP.
Were there any cats in the facility with ringworm?
No.
None? And any with URI? I guess one of the concerns is that we had repeated violations. So we had stuff from the year prior.
Yes.
And then again the following year.
Yes, yeah, so some expired products. Yeah.
And is it correct to say that at the time of the initial inspection in 2023, you had said that those issues had been rectified?
Yeah.
But when we came back in 2024, yes, those issues were still in play?
Yeah, there was less expired things, but there was still...
I'm sorry, I have to ask you to speak up.
There was less expired things, but there was like a few like blood tubes that were expired by a couple of days. There was like one butterfly catheter, and I think there was like one box of suture. So they're writing all the dates on the suture now because that wasn't being done before.
They're also conducting an inventory at the first of every month to address what is set to expire for that month. As I understand it, the number of expired materials at the inspection was minimal.
I don't have any additional questions.
Do any board members have additional questions? At this time, do you have anything else you would like to add? This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
Actually, Madam Chair, can I ask one additional question of the respondent?
Pardon?
Can I ask one additional question of
the
respondent?
Sure. Yes.
So before you step back, I'm sorry. So I understand that you no longer have the cats from this specific rescue that you're in your facility. Are you still working with this rescue? You're not working with this rescue, but you do work with a lot of other rescues.
Yeah, she has a list of all the ones.
Okay, and do you have plans on housing animals in your facility from those rescues?
She's not housing any rescue animals that aren't undergoing medical care. So if they're waiting for a dental or they need medical care overnight or anything like that, like any other patient would, and they happen to be a patient of the rescue, they'll be there, but she's not housing them just to have them housed there.
Okay. And what is your current capacity for kennel space in your facility?
12, I think.
12 kennels. So those would be kennels that you would utilize if you had patients that were requiring care during the day that were there for drop off for surgery or on the occasional ones that might have to have overnight care?
Yeah.
Okay. Or is there any auxiliary kennels that you would bring in should you need to have more?
On surgery day, yeah, there's more kennels that are put off the results.
And then would those, if a rescue came to you and said, I had 20 animals, would you have them housed there overnight to have surgery the following day?
I'm gonna bring them up on.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Did any board members have any further questions? Okay. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Dr. Thompson?
This is a little bit of a convoluted scenario. It's interesting what our inspection kind of led to and other inspections have unveiled. Obviously, when we compare the two investigations that we did, inspections that we did, yes, the issue of expired drugs was the one thing that was consistent, but then we've kind of unearthed an issue with having these rescue animals in there. Now, we hear from the respondent that is no longer the case. I would still question whether that's something that could potentially happen in the future, and so that I do have concerns there. One of my big concerns is going back and looking at the condition of the animals in the facility at the time of the inspection from PAC. There were lots of things that were of concern, with the number of animals that were housed in there, with the lack of available water to those animals, to having very dirty kennels, cages. I understand that the respondent was on vacation, but also when you are the responsible veterinarian for our premise, unfortunately we don't get to take vacation, right? We get to go on vacation, but we have to ensure that there are policies and procedures in place to ensure the safety of our patients and boarders. And so where I'm looking and where I have some concerns that even, and I'm open for discussion with fellow board members and trying to get your thoughts, but you know, there were comments of food and cardboard stacked up in places that's in violation of your premise. And then the other piece that kind of resonates with me, especially in this case, is if we look at 32.22.32, unprofessional or dishonorable conduct, we look at 23, cruelty to or neglect of animals. For the purposes of this paragraph, cruelty to or neglect of animals means knowingly or negligently torturing, beating, or mutilating an animal, killing an animal in an inhumane manner, or depriving an animal of necessary food, water, or shelter. And with the initial investigation from PAC, there were multiple animals that did not have water. It was part of the reason why I asked the question, what time do we open? So we open at 8 o'clock. Generally speaking, staff gets there a little bit before opening time, but this investigator went at 8:30 in the morning. So these animals should have been tended to before this investigator arrived. So, I mean, I definitely am interested in hearing what other board members' feelings are in this situation.
I would agree. Your statement about being on vacation, it's still a matter of responsibility. You still have policies and procedures in place, and they have to be followed whether you're in there or not. We're never in there 24/7 in our practice. Very rarely. So I agree with that. Can you tell me more about this inspection? It was performed by PMAN?
Animal Control, yes.
Okay, and what's their responsibility? Was in response to?
They had a complaint,
okay,
from the public, and mm-hmm. So then they went and investigated. It was provided in our folder. I know that there may have been some difficulties in opening the case.
I know what you're
I'd just like to comment that we occasionally hear that a part of the justification for why the minimum standards aren't being met is because it's an underserved or low-income area. We don't have differing levels of acceptability in state law and rules. The statutes and the administrative rules are the minimum standard. That's
any comment from those joining via phone?
Nothing on my end.
Okay. Dr. Wright?
No, nothing additional.
Okay.
So, I guess for me, for this case in 2577, I would make a motion to find a violation in 32.22.32, unprofessional or dishonorable conduct, number 23. cruelty or to or neglect of animals. For the purposes of this paragraph, cruelty to or neglect of animals means knowingly or negligently torturing, beating, or mutilating an animal, killing an animal in an inhumane manner, or depriving an animal of necessary food, water, and shelter. And in question, specifically, is the water.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Thompson. We now need to vote on the violation.
That was your motion.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay.
Second.
All those in favor? We can do this by voice vote, right, Mark? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed? There's no opposition. The motion passes unanimously to find the violation. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law, and after doing so, will then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview today. Thank you. You're on it, Kiefer.
That's right.